I'm hiking back upon my back.
We are going to go hiking on the Ice Age Trail during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, April 10th. Every Friday at this time, we talk about something special about Wisconsin. And the Ice Age Trail is certainly that. It's about 1,000 miles of footpath through some of the state's most scenic natural areas. And while I may not hike the entire length of it in one shot this spring, I do plan on hiking sections of it. And I welcome your suggestions and your experiences. And our guest expert can also provide you with information and advice on hiking the Ice Age Trail. Call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Luke Kloberdantz. He is the Outreach and Education Manager for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. He hiked the entire Ice Age Trail in 2003. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for joining us. So, what is the Ice Age Trail? Tell us a little bit about this, how it was formed and where it goes.
Sure. Well, the Ice Age Trail is a 1,000-mile footpath, roughly, like as you've said, and not the entire trail is on the ground. We have about 650 completed miles that are open and ready for hiking, and we're working on the other 400 and some odd miles. And the trail itself is a vision of a gentleman named Ray Zillmer, who is an attorney out of Milwaukee and a well-known explorer and adventurer. And he had this idea that we should be able to protect the glacial heritage of Wisconsin. And he started with a vision of a 100-mile path in the Kettle Moraine, which became the Ice Age Trail in the northern, middle, and southern unit of the Kettle Moraine. And that idea kind of grew to trace the furthest extent of the last glacial advance all across the state, and it stretched from 100 miles to 1,000 miles. And Ray Zillmer had this idea that the trail needs to be a place where, being a visual person, he said that where a squirrel could jump from tree to tree and never touch the ground along the route. And so I like to think about that when I'm envisioning the length and completion of the trail.
So this, can you tell us, roughly describe where it runs, from here to there?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So depending on where you start, now I will start on the east side of the state, because that's how I hiked it. But it starts in Sturgeon Bay in Door County, Pottawatomie State Park, and it travels south, paralleling Lake Michigan. And it's west of Milwaukee, and it swings through Janesville and kind of does a little horseshoe there and comes up through clips the southwest corner of Madison, up through our headquarters in Cross Plains, and then keeps moving north, a little east of Wausau, wraps around to Anago, and then heads west through Taylor and Chippewa counties, and then ultimately ends up in St. Croix Falls at Interstate Park.
Yeah, and this is the area where the glaciers retreated and left behind all these natural wonders?
Sure. Yeah, no, it left. It was the furthest extent of the last advance, and then it retreated. And you have just some of the world's best examples of glacial features, like kettles and cames and moraines and drumlins and all these geological features that just really stand out. And it isn't until you really walk through the landscape that you can gain a big sense of appreciation for just the size and scope of what the glacier left behind, from rubble fields, massive boulders strewn about on our Plover River segment, to the kettles, of course, and the Kettle Moraine. And so it was really, in a lot of ways, it's an educational trail, and protects these pieces of our glacial past.
Well, you mentioned that 650 miles or so are ready for walking, and there's still 400 miles to go. Dorothy on Facebook posted, enjoy the trail while you can, Joy, as Walker has put the kibosh on support for this one, too. What sort of threats does the trail face due to the state budget?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, it's a proposed budget. Nothing has been beneficial, but, you know, we would lose a substantial amount of state funding. And the Ice Age Trail the project is a partnership between Wisconsin DNR, the National Park Service, and the Ice Age Trail Alliance, the nonprofit partner. And I think what's important to realize is that with the money that we get from the state, we're able to leverage it with our partners, private, public, all the great folks that we work with, by a factor of about 10. So when we see that we are being taken off out of the funding mix in the proposed budget, that does certainly concern us. But we're working to show the value that we bring with every penny that we get. We are protecting some of the most beautiful places in Wisconsin and providing access to everybody in the state and beyond to check out what Wisconsin has. And so we think we have we bring a really good value for every penny that the state provides us. So, you know, we're working with our partners and our supporters and trying to, again, as we always do, raise awareness of what we're protecting and hoping that by the time that budget becomes final, it'll be a little brighter for us.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about your mission with the Ice Age Trail Alliance.
Sure. Well, we say we create, support, and protect 1,000-mile footpath tracing glacial formations. So what we do is we sort of divide that into three programmatic areas. One is our trails program, one is lands program, and then outreach and education. And so as a whole, we work in tandem with a whole host of 11 people and plus a fantastic group of interns. And we work to protect the land and then design an accessible trail and then get people to come out and enjoy it and support it. So, you know, that's a really simplified version of what we do, but the main idea is protecting and then creating access and then letting people know about it.
Can you talk about how unique the Ice Age Trail is to Wisconsin?
Well, I think to look at how unique the Ice Age Trail is, we have to look at a national view. So there are 11 national scenic trails in the United States, and we are one of three that are found within one state. So the Appalachian Trail, of course, another national scenic trail, travels across many states, Pacific Crest Trail, Continental Divide Trail, and so on. But the Ice Age Trail stays within just one state, in Wisconsin, and that's, we're pretty proud of that. And I think what makes it unique within the state is that it is volunteer driven. So we have our volunteers building these master built trails, and the idea that it really is the longest trail we have, and it really, really helps highlight all of these little nooks and crannies. You know, it goes through places like Devil's Lake State Park or some of these big parks, but it also goes to these lands that you may not know about or see, you know, in the news or hear about very often, but are equally beautiful. So it really uncovers some of these hidden gems that we don't, that, you know, people sometimes take for granted.
According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, more than nearly 3.5 million Wisconsinites live within a one-hour drive of the Ice Age Trail. How important is it to have this national scenic trail be so accessible to Wisconsin residents?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. That it's critical for us. You know, we find a lot of value in the idea that you can jump in your car and take a really short drive and be on a 1,000-mile footpath. And the key thing, especially where in my field of work within the Alliance, is getting youth out on the trail. So we have a program within the Alliance called Saunters that deals with getting over 500 youth out on the trail for week-long adventures. And the proximity to not only where they live, but where their families live. And when they can go and, say, visit grandma and grandpa and know that they're really close to the trail and they can share that experience with their families for a mental and physical well-being, I think is really powerful. And having people stay connected to the natural world when there's so many opportunities to be disconnected from the natural world is something that we really think is important for the people of Wisconsin. We try to make it a great experience for them.
We will talk about that experience some more after we check the latest news. We are talking with Luke Kloberdance. He is the Outreach and Education Manager for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. And he hiked the entire Ice Age Trail, so we will talk to him about what that experience was like and get some information and advice on how we might do the same thing after this news. We are taking a hike on the Ice Age Trail this hour, and I am asking you, where do you hike the Ice Age Trail? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Or if you would like more information about the Ice Age Trail or some advice from our guest, we welcome your questions too. Luke Kloberdance is the Outreach and Education Manager for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. He hiked the entire Ice Age Trail in 2003. Luke, what was that like? How long did that take you, and how hard was that?
Well, good question. So it was 47 days, and it was a challenge. It was, I think, the biggest challenge was the mental challenge of staying out there. I was, I'm married, so I was leaving a family behind and going out and doing a little soul searching, and I had my own reasons for being out there. I wasn't real thrilled with the way things were going in life and felt like I needed some time to reflect. And so my biggest challenge was mental. There's certainly a big physical challenge to walking. I guess I average about 25 miles a day. So that with a pack on and that had a physical toll, but the biggest challenge for me was being away from home and family and
sure. And do you run into other people? I mean, is it a real solitary endeavor if you're hiking it by yourself?
Right. Well, as you mentioned, it's a pretty urban trail in some senses, being close to a large portion of our population. So there are certainly quite a few people that you're coming across, but when you take that, my first leg back across the eastern or from the eastern side of the state and wrapping around Madison, you come across folks, but when I hiked in 2003, they kind of looked at you with, who's this guy with a pack on and a little shaggy looking. And, so it wasn't always the warmest reception, but it ended up being that people were, it was one of the things that I wanted to get away from, but it ended up being best thing that happened to me was meeting people and just their overwhelming kindness when, I could talk with them a little bit about what I was doing. It just wasn't this guy walking, down the street or coming out of the woods. And the people of Wisconsin, it was really refreshing to me just that people are good as larger than the population that don't do such nice things. And it was a really, really refreshing for me to be surrounded by such great people in the state and have people open their arms and homes for me and welcome me in to meet their family and become a part of their lives for a small moment in time. But there are certainly some solitary segments, especially as you get north of the Westfield area. It starts getting a little more remote, and as you're making that stretch across the north, you're out there, and it's changed quite a bit since 2003. When I hiked it, I was the 11th person to complete the entire Ice Age Trail, and as an organization, we recently just went past the 100 mark. Wow. So in that short amount of time, it's really because of the quality of trail. Our mobile skills crew program is a trail building arm of our the alliance, along with all of the 21 volunteers that help maintain the trail, and just the quality of the trail has improved greatly. The signage is a lot better, and thanks to those, you know, those people out there painting blazes on trees and making sure that people enjoy their experience. So it was pretty solitary when I went, a little, maybe less so now, but you'll still have plenty of time by yourself.
Wonderful. So when you say people opened their homes to you and how kind mm-hmm. they were, mm-hmm. if I were to want to hike the entire trail, and as I mentioned, I'm not going to be able to do that. But if you were planning on doing, do you camp along the way? Do you stop at a hotel? I mean, what do you carry in that backpack?
Well, to answer your first question, yes to both. You camp along the trail and you get a hotel if your feet are really, really hurting. But I think it's a mix. And that is one of the challenges that we work with as an organization and with our partners, especially with the DNR, to establish things called dispersed camping areas. And we refer to them as DCAs. And this is an opportunity for long distance hikers to have those landing spots to camp. Other than that, it's going to be at certain campsites, such as in the Kettle Moraine or Devil's Lake State Park. The county forests allow dispersed camping. So that's a big logistical issue for long-distance hikers on the trail, but it's one that we've been able to help out with. So we have a text that we print called the Ice Age Trail Guidebook, and that lays out all sorts of excellent information, but certainly the camping is a big part of that text.
And I have that book in front of me. My
nice.
Husband and I picked it up because we want to hike at least many sections of it. We won't do
sure.
the entire thing. And so this is do the proceeds of this book help fund some of your activities?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. We don't, you know, there's not a huge profit for us on that book. We like to get people out and make sure that it's accessible to folks, but we certainly have to keep the lights on and keep doing the good work that we do. So that's a great text to have for what you're referring to, going out and hiking some segments, learning about the geology, where to access the trail, how to get on, length and difficulty of each segment. It's really a publication we're proud of, and that was created through a small army of people out there hiking and reporting back to Eric Sherman, who's in our office, and making sure that it all works and people won't get lost when they get out there. So you've got a good start, Joy, and I would say don't give up on hiking the whole thing yet.
I won't, but we will do sections, and we have some callers and listeners who want to join in with experiences or questions. Aaron in Stevens Point is with us first. Hi, Aaron.
Yes, hello, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for the program. I just wanted to put a big plug in for the Ice Age Trail. Saw a great documentary that was on Wisconsin Public Television about it. This spring, we recently moved down from the North Woods. The Ice Age Trail, and especially the Green Loop in Stevens Point, wound up being the deciding factor for us to relocate to the area. For whatever it's worth, the Green Loop shares sections of the Ice Age Trail. We've gone on it around here. We're looking forward to a wonderful summer to be able to explore more of it. It's a great opportunity, and I would also just like to invite anybody. We're having a walkathon for the Green Loop, which will share sections of the Ice Age Trail, I believe. It's a non-competitive Green Loop is a great program, and the Ice Age Trail is a Wisconsin treasure. So anyone that doesn't know, it might be a great opportunity to come out and experience it for the first time. So go Ice Age Trail, and thank you to all the volunteers.
Yeah, Aaron, before you go, give us an idea why this Green Loop was so critical in your decision to actually move to Stevens Point. What is it about having that so close that made you want to move there?
Yeah, well, when you live up north in the woods, you get very used to nature in its pristine glory, as much as we can have in the year 2015. So So having to decide to relocate to a more urbanized area for schools for our young 4-year-old child who's getting ready to enter the program, we still needed a region that offered good, ready access to nature activities and trail systems. And so when we looked around the state, Stevens Point, right with the central location and all the trail systems around, I'm not trying to take away from, you know, some of the river activities and other such things. It was pretty much a no-brainer when we compared it to the other cities, especially because of the huge development of the Green Loop right in the city, you know, which goes back and echoes the mission statement of the American Parks Network, of course, if we remember our American history, and having walkable green spaces within urban zones.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing, Aaron. Luke, now, if I understood that correctly, the Green Loop might connect mm-hmm. with the Ice Age Trail, but it isn't the Ice Age Trail?
That is correct. Yep. Okay. It is not the Ice Age Trail at this time, but the Ice Age Trail is a little east of Stevens Point at this time, so there are, you know, some great segments that are within close proximity to Stevens Point. And, you know, as Aaron stated, the having those options and trails interconnect, and keeping the pristine value of the natural setting and being able to access it are critical.
Yeah. We have Jason on Facebook who says, I have been hiking on the trail a lot lately, especially now since it's getting warmer. Just a few days ago near Holy Hill, mm-hmm. I was on the trail for nearly 5 hours. Wow.
Nice. He was in a beautiful spot, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that is quite... So people are... You can be out there right now hiking away.
You bet. No, we have folks that are, you know, starting their 1,000-mile walks and their 1-mile walks. So spring is a great time to be out. I think one of the, you know, beautiful parts about this time of year is just the vibrant color that's coming out after a long gray winter. It's really nice to be out and seeing these, the fresh greenery popping up, and it's, you know, everything's coming alive, and it's great to be out there and in the mix with it.
We are talking about hiking Wisconsin's Ice Age Trail. Have you hiked parts of the Ice Age Trail? Do you have a favorite part of it? Why do you like to hike the Ice Age Trail? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Luke Kloberdance. He is the Outreach and Education Manager for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. We have an email from Kate who wonders, how safe is it for women hiking alone on the Ice Age Trail? Any types of precautions we should take?
Sure. Now, I think to answer the first part of that question, we have... had quite a few women become 1,000-milers, hike the entire thing. And I think they would echo that it is, you know, just as safe for them as it is, you know, for a man in this general terms. You certainly have to be careful no matter who you are out on the trail and be responsible for yourself and aware of your surroundings at all times. And just stay on your toes no matter who you are. But, you know, I think that's a personal thing for people is being aware and keeping their safety in mind. We don't want anyone to get hurt out there, and we want everyone to come back safe. So that's, we've had quite a few women go out and hike the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm wondering if she is prompted to a certain extent, perhaps like I was, mm-hmm. by that movie, was it Wild?
Sure. Yeah, the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah.
Yeah, that was that. It just seems like it would be at least for me, at least a day trip, if not maybe a couple of days. But I'll work my way up to the full 1,000 miles.
Sure.
We have another Facebook post from a listener who says, I'd have to say all parts of the Ice Age Trail are great. What I enjoy most is picking a random spot on the map and checking it out. Though He writes, some areas are better maintained than others. Well, mm-hmm. let's talk about that part first. Is it up to you, Luke, and your other Ice Age Trail Alliance members to maintain the Ice Age Trail?
So we have, as I stated earlier, we have 21 volunteer chapters across the state, usually organized by county. And these are the folks that are out there pushing the mowers and running the chainsaws and keeping the trail open. And, you know, as with, I suppose, anyone's lawn, sometimes they can get a little hairy out there. But we also support that from our Cross Plains office, our headquarters, with our mobile skills crew program, which is, this is the trail building and maintenance arm of the organization, and trying to provide assistance where we can. It's a long trail, and if we have a chapter that needs a little extra help, we'll go out and see what we can do to help them improve or maintain the trail as best we can. But these are hardworking volunteers. You know, these are people that have regular jobs outside of their work, and then now they'll work, put a full day in at the office or wherever that may be, come home, get in their trail clothes, and go out and push a mower for a few hours to make sure that the trail is open for everyone else that comes after them. So, the volunteer labor is the backbone of that maintenance that we rely on to keep the trail open.
Hey, maybe this listener can volunteer. How do we do that if we want to?
Sure. I would say visit our website. It's brand spanking new, iceagetrail.org. And find a chapter and find someone local to wherever it is that you hail from and get in touch with the chapter coordinators via email, via phone call. If you're having a hard time getting involved there, visit our office or call the office in Cross Plains, and we'll get you connected one way or the other. And we're always looking for people to help maintain the trail and improve the experience for everyone that follows.
And we do have a link to the Ice Age Trail Alliance website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And I take it on your website there's also information about the book, the Ice Age Trail Guidebook.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep.
Eric in Appleton is with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Great show. I'm looking for like a recommendation for 3 nights, maybe 40 miles we like to walk. Where would we start? And is there a camping along the way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I send people to this spot all the time, so if it's crowded, I'm sorry. But I would start on Highway 64, just northwest of Medford in Taylor County, and I would travel towards the Mondo Flowage. This is through the Shawamigan National Forest. It's home to the Jerry Lake Wolf Pack. It's hemlock forests and maple forests and beautiful glacial features. My favorite, the Hemlock Esker, is up there. And you've got about 32.4 miles or so, give or take, to the Mondo Flowage, which has another Esker, the Mondo Esker. And it's a beautiful waterway. There are nice campsites right on the water. It's a great place to end because there is the Mondo Dam Lodge, where there is pizza and beverages and things to end your hike with. So after 3 or 4 days of traveling through the Shawamigan and eating ramen noodles, it's always nice to end with a pizza. And there are established campsites along that route. So in the guidebook that we sell, there are markers that will show you where those campsites are all along the route. They're pretty evenly distributed, so whether you want to do a 10 or a 20 mile day, you can do that. And then the trail extends beyond the Mondo Flowage and can get you another, about 10 miles or so. So that's where I would recommend going. Another option would be the Chippewa Moraine over at the David Obie Interpretive Center. Start there and head east, and there are campsites, established campsites all along that route.
We'll talk about some other sections of the Ice Age Trail, some other highlights of the Ice Age Trail when we come back from this newscast, and we'll welcome more of your questions and more of your recommendations. Tell Joy where to hike on the Ice Age Trail. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Hey, smell that dairy.
Balance Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales, Corners, Slades, Corners, Abel's Corners, Newburgh Corners, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plain, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air, hey.
This is an Ice Age Trail edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Every Friday at this time, we talk about something special about Wisconsin. And today, it is the Ice Age Trail, a 1,000-mile footpath that goes through some of the state's most scenic natural areas. If you have a question about hiking the Ice Age Trail or would like a recommendation about a section of the Ice Age Trail to hike, give us a call. Or if you'd like to share an experience, your own experience hiking the Ice Age Trail, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Coming up in just about 5 minutes or so, we will also have our Wisconsin Life essay, and it will be on one of Wisconsin's natural wonders, scenic beauties, the Pier Natural Bridge Park. That's coming up a little bit later in this hour. We are talking with Luke Cloberdance. He is the Outreach and Education Manager for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. He hiked the entire Ice Age Trail in 2003. Heidi on Facebook suggests go on the Ice Age Trail near Chippewa County. Go to the Ice Age Center in Chippewa County and hike east. They bought a summer camp that I used to work at. Are you familiar with this, Luke?
Yes, I am. So the interpretive site that she's referring to is the David Obie Center, and it's a beautiful, beautiful facility. I recommend going when the hummingbirds are back in the area because they just swarm that building. They have a bunch of feeders around it.
Oh,
it's really fun to see just all these hummingbirds. And then heading east, as she said, so Camp Nwakwa is a former Girl Scout camp that we were able to secure the land and working with the Girl Scouts of America. And it is was built with the local chapter and mobile skills crew to sort of reroute it, to highlight some features there. And as Heidi said, it's a real dandy. It's a beautiful, beautiful walk. And the whole Chippewa Moraine area is just full of Kettle Lakes and these beautiful rolling hills. So she's spot on. Good place to hike.
Sounds great. Let's go to Jessica in Milwaukee next. Hi, Jessica.
Hi there. So last year for the summer solstice, and I do this every year for the summer solstice, I went for a long hike along the Ice Age Trail. This time I went through Walworth and Jefferson counties, and it was a beautiful, beautiful day. I walked about 18 miles by the end of the day.
Wow, nice. Wonderful. And what do you see along the way, Jessica?
I saw all sorts of incredible trees. It was actually raining, and I took a lot of photographs as I could of the beautiful trees and of all the just wonderful. I felt like I was actually walking in the Pacific Northwest because of the rain. It was just a wonderful day.
And this is a tradition to do it on the summer solstice for you?
Yeah, I take a long walk every year, and I do it in different places. This last year I went along the Ice Age Trail. In the past, I circled the entirety of Lake Geneva.
Wow. That sounds really nice. Thank you very much for sharing that. Jake emails, I backpacked the north and south Kettle Moraine 30-mile sections. Mm-hmm. What other continuous sections of the Ice Age Trail are good for 3 to 4 day backpacking trips?
Sure. Going back again, I would recommend Taylor County, Lake 11, Jerry Lake, and the Mondo segments, stringing those together. There's good camping along the way. Chippewa Moraine is also good, starting at the Obie Center and heading east or vice versa. And then another spot that we haven't talked about yet is through the Harrison Hills. So just up there in the edge of Lincoln and Langley County, near Parrish, there's the Harrison Hills is a nice long stretch. There's a little road walk in there, but there's some great camping in the Underdown segment, which is another little stretch just outside of Harrison Hills. So I would say between those and, you know, the Kettle Moraine, mm-hmm. those are all wonderful spots to get out for a few days.
Barb on Facebook says, it is my dream to hike the Ice Age Trail once I am pet free. So can we bring our pets on the trail?
It depends on the pet.
Yes.
Certainly, some people hike with their dogs. There are different regulations in different properties that you pass. Mainly, keep a leash with you, of course, and be respectful of other hikers and what their comfort levels are. But, you know, it's something else. It's more food to carry and another another mouth to feed. So you like to weigh all those factors.
Yeah. The one area that I think I'll go to first, and you tell me just because it's mm-hmm. so close to Madison, I've been there before, but it was so many years ago. Isn't the Gibraltar Rock on the Ice Age Trail?
Yes, it is.
And is that it's kind of north of Madison, about, I don't know, mm-hmm. a half hour away?
Sure, yep. So Gibraltar Rock is I've been working there for the last couple of years, and it is just a beautiful, beautiful spot. So this land was first protected by Jens Jensen and Friends of Our Native Landscape, and it's a beautiful sandstone bluff of about 200 feet. And the trail, it used to be that you would park at the base and walk up this pretty steep asphalt drive that to get to the top, and then you look out over it and, you know, see all the beauty beyond. And then we were able to build trail on the property after some land was secured, so we had a road-to-road connection, and we made a route that is a little easier to get to the top, and it takes hikers through some different areas of Gibraltar that they probably didn't realize existed before. And it's a really one of the places that we recommend when people are looking for a hike. It's if you're traveling to and from, it's not that far off of the interstate. So if you're, you know, coming down the highway, swing off on Highway 60 and find Gibraltar. You won't be disappointed at all.
Less than a minute. I wish we had more time now. But if people want to learn more about the Ice Age Trail, where do you want to send them?
IceAgeTrail.org or our Facebook page, and just stay connected, and they can. We're always open to visits and calls and emails as well. So, you know, join us.
Yeah. Happy hiking. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Luke Kloberdance is the Outreach and Education Manager for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. He hiked the Ice Age Trail in 2003. And we do have a link to the Ice Age Trail Alliance's website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin's landscape is dotted with spectacular geologic formations. Producer Nancy Camden happened upon one in Richland County, where she met Marilyn Reinhart and Angie Kaufman, who walk us through time at Pier Natural Bridge Park.
From some of the artifacts that have been found here, there were Native Americans that went back to 600 to 1000 AD that probably came here to worship the Great Spirit. It just feels like a cathedral.
I'm Marilyn Reinhart. I live at Rockbridge, Wisconsin, just north of Richland Center, where there's a beautiful, beautiful park, the Pier Natural Bridge Park, a 20-acre park. We're seeing the west branch of the Pine River that comes through the rock. Now we're going to walk through the tunnel where we'll be able to see the same river from the west side. We're in the middle of the tunnel right now. Very dark, but there's light on each end of the tunnel. We're walking into a wooded area with a narrow mowed path. We're going up some steps now. When I was a little girl and we went to Grandma's house from the farm, we always went on the Indian steps. So we're on top of a 50-foot rock cliff. There are lots of white pine and hardwoods. As we look to the northwest, the cliff goes for maybe a mile, but narrows down to, when it comes to the little village of Rockbridge, maybe 30, 40 feet thick. This is just a piece of the whole Driftless area. This is sandstone, not limestone. It was predating that. The kids in Rockbridge would help us to drive the sheep through this valley and along the rock cliffs up to the farm. Great-grandpa built the house across the way here when he came back from the Civil War, and my grandma lived her entire life, for the most part, in that house. We're seeing the Natural Bridge store, which my parents had built. We can look down the valley.
I'm Angie Kaufman. I live right next to the wonderful rock here. It's especially pretty in the wintertime, and the icicles are hanging from the rock. It's just a very beautiful place to live. It does remind me of the greatness and power of God. Like a verse says, that He is the rock of my salvation.
There's something written in General Atkinson's journal from the Black Hawk War, that this was the place where the Native Americans came to worship the Great Spirit.
I believe this rock was probably put here right after the flood. If you look at it right, you can almost see ocean waves in the form of the rock.
Ocean waves and wind, the force of the wind.
It just kind of resembles all that, just in the rock. It's not
the rock cliffs are from the ancient seas from 450 to 600 million years ago. I think back to when my great-great-grandparents might have been walking on the same paths. There's not much of a footprint left. There won't be much of my footprint left in a few years. But the rocks will always be the same.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, you can visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin and talk about things that make Wisconsin special. Next week at this time, we are going to talk about cheese, more specifically, the Grilled Cheese Sandwich Championships that are taking place next weekend. That's tomorrow, or I should say that is next week, next Friday at this time on Tell Joy Where to Go. Thanks to Caleb Lato for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.